Man, he's good, isn't he? I mean, he's really good. Amen. He's so good. Well, it's exciting what God is doing, and it's exciting that only God can do what God is doing. Amen. Now, this will have to be interactive. Y'all gonna have to help me out this morning. Now, don't do like the last service when they felt like I was struggling. They'd yell out, "Help him, Jesus!" They were on to something at the 9:30. Imagine how the disciples felt being with Jesus. I mean, imagine being with Jesus. I mean, you wouldn't be afraid of anything. I mean, nothing would worry you. I mean, you've seen blind people healed. You've seen the lame walk. You've seen food come out of nothing. I mean, you didn't fear anything. And I think several things happen with that. You kind of forget who your comfort is. I used to run around with these guys when I was in high school. We used to go to this place called King's Island. Anybody ever hear of King's Island? Raise your hand. All right, bunch of you. So like, all my buddies were like these great big guys. They were like 5'9", and I would like run around. So anyway, we would run around and we're just kind of troublemakers. I don't know if you ever noticed, it's always the little guy that's got the mouth. And so like we'd see these other group of guys and I'd always be like, "What are you looking at?" Because when I was with these guys, nobody's going to bother me. And I get on for all that it's worth, you know, and I just smart off and say stuff. And one day I was at King's Island without all those guys. But luckily I had three things of cotton candy and nachos. And I was by myself, so I don't know why I had all that, but I had it. And I run into those guys. I'm like, "Hey, you want some cotton candy? I'll share." The disciples are with Jesus. And they are not afraid of anything because they are with Him. I mean, we didn't plan this today. I didn't say, "Here's my sermon. If you guys would, you know, end with how great thou art, that would work out." You know, we didn't need to plan all. God knew what was going to happen today. And God wants us to come into this and our thought not being on our ability. And our thought not being on how good we are or how we can accomplish it, but on how great God is. Jesus has reminded the disciples over and over how great the Father is. But now He's preparing them. Because Jesus knows He's not always going to be with them. So Jesus gives a great teaching on the Holy Spirit. And He ends it by saying this: "In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me." Some of His disciples said to one another, this is John 16, verse 17. Some of His disciples said to one another, "What does He mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?'" And they kept asking, "What does He mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what He is saying." That phrase, "in a little while," is such a powerful phrase. And Jesus intentionally uses the phrase because He wants them to know there is some tough stuff coming, but it's only going to be here a little while. Now, come on. Now, that's good news. That's good news. And there are going to be some trials, some crises. There's going to be stuff happening, but it's only going to be for a little while. And Jesus is saying, so for a little while I'm going to be gone, then I'm going to be back for a little while, and then we know He's going to ascend to the Father, and He's preparing them for life without His physical presence. And that's what this teaching is about. And the whole topic, everything Jesus talks about from here on out, is about joy. And that's what this morning is about, is about joy. But I think we have to have a proper understanding of joy, because joy is not happiness. It's not. You cannot be happy and have joy. I'll give you, and I'll prove it. If you're married and that's ever happened, raise your hand. So marriage is a beautiful illustration of being unhappy and having joy. I tease my wife, I'm going to write a country song about her called "She Ain't Happy Unless She's Mad." I didn't say that to 9:30, Elizabeth, because she was here. So that's on the down low between all of us, right? And so it's not happiness. It's not that everything works out the way you want. Joy is constant. Joy is always there. And Jesus is going to teach why that is true. So he finally, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said in a little while you will see me no more? And then after a little while you will see me. And Jesus says this, old church, this is good. Verse 20, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Your grief will turn to joy. Jesus is saying, because here in just a day or so, there's going to be a betrayal. And there's going to be a beating. And there's going to be a crucifixion. And there's going to be a burial in the tomb. It's all going to happen. It's all going to come. The world is going to party when this goes down. And I don't know if you know this about how many ever been to one of the world's parties? One person. Why don't you come up here and tell us about it? The rest of you are liars. The rest of you are like, I ain't been to no party. The rest of you are lying. So the world is going to party. And I've been to a few of the world's parties. And whether you admit it or not, you've been to a few of the world's parties. And guess what we know about that party? It came to an end. It was over. Oh, it was fun for a minute. Oh, it was fun for a minute. Maybe a few, right? But then it was over. And Jesus said, hey, get ready. Because you guys are going to grieve and you're going to mourn and the world's going to throw a party. But that party's coming to an end. But guess what? In a little while, I'm coming back. And then we're really going to throw a party. And it's never going to end. It's going to be forever and ever. It won't be just a moment of something. It's going to be a forever of joy. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I am coming back. He wants them to understand you are going to grieve. It's going to be hard, but your grief will turn to joy. Now listen, this is the tough part to teach this morning. You and I are on this side of the empty tomb. And because we're on this side of the empty tomb, we don't have that experience of our grief turning to joy. Do you know why? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you already have joy. You see, Jesus hadn't yet resurrected, so the disciples were going to have the experience of grief turning to joy. If you're a follower of Jesus, you had that experience too. It's called salvation. Where our grief is now turned to joy, and that joy is constant. That joy is there. And then he gives this illustration. Half of you are going to understand this really well, and the other half will have to use your imagination. So men, think hard. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Now, whenever I see a young mother who's got her little precious baby, and I always say whatever I say to that mother. A lot of times I'll say, man, that is a beautiful baby. But if your baby's not beautiful, I won't say that because then I'd be a liar. And you've seen those babies, right? Some of you were those babies. Bless your heart. But you know, if your baby's not that, what I say to the mother is, well, that baby's as cute as it can be. And of course, that mother takes that to mean it's a beautiful baby, but I just really meant what I said. No, it's about as cute as it can be right now. That's it. I'm being honest. Bless me. Somebody said, help him, Jesus. Okay, all right, come back. So, I've never had a mother respond and say, when I've said, that's a beautiful baby, oh, but it was painful coming out. No mother's ever said that to me. Why? Did she forget the pain? Oh, wait, now all the men are going, yes. And the women are going, you didn't forget the pain, but the joy of the fruit was so much greater than the pain. I mean, come on. You don't forget the pain. I've been reminded. You don't forget the pain. But the joy of the fruit is greater than the pain. And so we go through difficult times. And there's a labor process for every one of us as we journey through this life. And there are going to be difficult moments. There's going to be crisis. You're going to get that phone call. You're going to get that news. That kid is going to go their own way. Whatever it is. We're going to go through those things. Jesus is preparing the disciples, but he's teaching them about joy. That the joy of the fruit will be greater. It will be greater than the pain of the labor. Because if you watch enough TV, you'll hear somebody, or listen to enough radio, or visit enough churches, you're going to hear somebody say that if you follow Jesus, there'll be no pain. Well, they're lying. They're lying. Or they're 6 months old, right? Because that's a lie. Because there's going to be pain. Jesus is, have you noticed he's always preparing the disciples that things are going to be really hard? Have you noticed that? And have you noticed that's not just meant for the 11, but that's meant for all of us? I mean, how many of you figured out that this life is difficult? That it's hard? How many of you learned you can't control other people? Wow, they got a big amen. It got a bitter amen. We'll need to pray about that. It's hard. I mean, this life is difficult, and there are no promises that everything is going to turn out rosy. But you and I have a promise that at the end of this life, we have eternal life with God forever and ever and ever. And I want you to know, we believe that. Because if I didn't believe that, if I thought following Jesus just was supposed to make my life a little bit better, I'd quit following him. Because in some ways, my life hasn't got better and better. In some ways. In some ways, it's become more painful. Because God has called me to love other people. And sometimes other people are hard to love. Have you experienced that? And sometimes I have to care for other people. And sometimes other people are hard to care for. And I'm sure somewhere, some place, is somebody saying that same thing, and they got me in mind. I tried to walk with him. I tried to be a friend, and he was just hard. And life doesn't always turn out like we want it to turn out. But Jesus is reminding the disciples, don't focus on what this life has to offer. The pain, the struggle, whatever opportunity you think it is, don't focus on that. Jesus said, I give you joy. There is joy for this journey. Listen to what he goes on to say. In that day, I'm sorry, so with you, verse 22, now is your time of grief. He's talking to the disciples. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and here it is, church, and no one will take away your joy. That was a great place to applaud and go crazy. Wait. No. That time is come and gone. You missed it. How hopeful is this? Nobody, no thing is going to take your joy away. Why? Because Jesus has given it to you. Jesus has given it to you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus has given it to you. And nobody, no thing can take it away. Now this is a powerful truth. All right. Yeah, that's good. All right. This is a powerful truth. Because this is your time of grief. Because I'm not going to be with you. They're going to take me away. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the tomb. And then I'll be back. But then what do we know? He'll ascend to heaven. And his physical presence will no longer be with him. But his spiritual presence, very much so, will be. Jesus is saying there was going to be a time of grief. But you just hang on. Because nobody can take your joy away. How many of you feel like you've blown it? I know that's always a tough one to raise your hand on. That's okay. Just go ahead. How many of you feel like you've ever blown it? I mean, I feel that way. Every night of Holy Week, we did devotions with my children. And we were talking about Jesus on the cross and Jesus saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And we're talking about forgiveness. And I asked my 7-year-old son, I said, now, Will, so what do we learn when Jesus is on the cross? You know, what should we do when people wrong us? And he said, forgive them. And, you know, I'm feeling like, hey, I'm making it happen as a father here. Changing this kid's life. The girls, my little girls, said we need to forgive them. And I'm feeling good. 3 out of 4 so far. I mean, hey, I'm good. And then my 10-year-old, I said, Sam, what do you do? He says, I rip his jugular out and let him bleed to death. And there's a very awkward pause by me and his mother. Trying to wonder, we want to encourage that creative imagination, but also, you know, we don't want him in the bell tower shooting guns, you know, when he's later. And I'm like, you know, you're supposed to forgive. And, you know, kind of in that moment, you feel like you're blowing it. You feel like you're totally missing it. You know, I called my dad the other day and I was just telling him, I said, you know, Dad, what I just realized? I just realized how much joy my kids bring me. And I said, probably doesn't come anywhere near the joy your children brought you. And he said, oh yeah, yeah, you're onto something there. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now, John 15:11, Jesus said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So in order for your joy to be complete, his joy must be in you. I think it's incredible. It's my favorite thing about Christianity, that all the expectations that God has, you'll only meet them if God helps you to meet them. It's the only way. It's the only way. You know, I think I told you this story some other time when my daughter was doing these cartwheels, and I was trying to get her to do a one-handed cartwheel, and she just said she couldn't do it, and really she was just afraid. I knew she could do it. So when she went to do it that very first time, I just kind of grabbed her leg and helped her over, and she just got up. She goes, Dad, I couldn't have done that without you. I said, but you did what I wanted. And that's how God is. Any expectation he has, we cannot meet it without him. If he wants you to forgive somebody and you're having a hard time, well, listen, if you're counting on you to forgive somebody, forget it. Just die mad, right? Because you can only forgive that he would give you that forgiveness. And so you know what I pray when I like need to forgive somebody? You remember what I prayed when I needed to forgive you? Just kidding. You know, when I pray, I honestly, my prayer, I don't say, Lord, help me to forgive them. Because if all I get from God is help, it's not going to happen. And when I pray, like in that situation, I'll pray and say, God, I need your strength and your forgiveness to forgive them. Because I can't. I can't. I need to love somebody that's difficult. I can't do it. But God will give me the love. And God will love that person through me. I mean, I want you to hear this. This is the most exciting thing about Christianity. That whatever God calls you to do, he equips you to accomplish it. And like God wants you to do a one-armed cartwheel. And you know you can't, but you're going to try. You want to demonstrate one for us? No? Okay. And you want to do it, but you know you can't. But you just say, okay, God, here it goes. And you feel his hand on your ankle. And his hand on your waist, and he helps you all the way over. And the only way you could have done it is that God allowed you to do it. Listen, church, that's God. That is God. He wants you to have joy, and he will be your joy. He wants you to forgive, and he'll be your forgiveness. He wants you to love, and he'll be your love. He wants you to stand strong, he'll be your strength. I find it interesting. The Bible says that in our weakness, his strength is perfect. In our weakness, his strength is perfect. Jesus says this, though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. Did everybody hear that? You will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No. The Father himself loves you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Very important truth here. We've always been taught that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Amen? Now that's a powerful truth. That means the only way to God is through Jesus. He's the only mediator between God and man. And that's for salvation. But in discipleship, after you're a follower of Jesus, you don't need a mediator anymore. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God allows us to be in relationship with God. Jesus says now, you don't need that mediator. And why was this an important teaching? Because they've always understood the only way to get through God or get to God is through a man. That's the only way. There's no other way. And under that Old Testament system, you had to go through a high priest. Sherry, do you have any pets? What do you have?
Two dogs.
You have two dogs. What are their names?
Heidi and Leah.
Heidi and Leah. So under the Old Testament, Sherry wouldn't have just come to church today with her husband and her son. She would have come with Heidi, the dog. And in order for God to forgive her of her sin, we'd have had a moment at the end of service where she would have brought Heidi up here. What kind of dog is Heidi?
A miniature pincher.
And she would have brought Heidi up here and handed Heidi to me. I would have got out the sacrificial knife.
Oh, no.
Help her, Jesus. And that's what the Israelites always understood. That for me to know God, I've got to go through a priest. But I got great news. There, a high priest came. And he was the final and ultimate sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And guess what? That means you can keep Heidi. And you can keep laying, you can keep your pets. Because now you don't even need me. You don't need Pastor Steve to get to God. No, why? Why? Now listen, not because, oh, now I'm saved. Why? Jesus was specific. No, because the Father loves you. The Father loves you. Now listen, I'm going to say that a couple more times. Just everybody look up here. The Father loves you. Now I want you to hear that because Satan wants you to believe the opposite is true. The Father loves you. Not because I'm saying it. I'm just quoting Jesus. Jesus said, the Father loves you. Up in the balcony. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. You don't need anybody else to get to God now. Your sin is forgiven and you can go to God. Very important teaching in this moment with the disciples. Because who are they going to rely on to know God? Who are they going to rely on to pray to God for them? Jesus. And Jesus is saying, but I'm going to go and I won't be here anymore. But you know what? The Father loves you. The Father desires relationship with you. And then he says this. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Jesus answered, you believe at last. You believe at last. And then Jesus says this, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Jesus says, but a time is coming. Hang on, there's a moment that's coming where you're going to scatter. You ever been in that moment? I mean, you ever have those moments in your life? I'm sitting there on the couch with my wife and I'm just flipping channels. And I got this great rhythm going on as I'm flipping that only a man really can do. My wife said, you're not watching nothing. I said, I'm watching 2 ball games, a documentary, and 3 movies. What are you talking about? I'm being educated right here. And I'm just hitting that remote. And I get to this channel. I get to VH1. And I pause. I pause. I don't mean to pause. I don't want to pause. But I pause. And on the screen is Flava Flav. And I don't know if you've seen the women on that show, and no offense if you're a woman here this morning and you've been on the show, but they are scantily clad. They don't wear a whole lot of clothes, and I don't want to stop. But I pause. And it's such an awkward pause because sitting next to me is my wife. And I try to just salvage this moment to say, I was just pausing for you to have the choice to keep on flipping or stop here. Now listen, listen. I'm telling you that because we all have those moments in our lives. And if you say you don't, you're a liar. And that's your moment. All of us have that. And Jesus told us, you'll all be scattered. You all say you're going to hang in there, but you're not always going to hang in there. Jesus is preparing him for that. And listen, and God isn't in heaven freaking out. When I pause, God's not going, oh my gosh. Pastor 9:30, I said, when God gets mad, what does he say? Oh me, you know. I don't know what God says. But I assure you, God's not freaking out. When you mess up, God's not saying, where's Michael? Where's Michael? Michael, get over here. We had no idea this was going to happen. That's not God. God knows exactly what's going to happen. Jesus knew it. And that's why he said, you'll scatter. You're not always going to hang in there. You're going to act like you will. You'll say that you will, but you're not always going to hang in there. And then we hit maybe the most powerful truth that comes out of this. And I want you to hear this, because I've hit those moments. I've hit those moments when I couldn't take another phone call, another disappointment, another letdown, another crisis, another failed temptation. I was in that moment where I felt like I couldn't hang on anymore. And I just reached that point where I just let go of God because I can't hang on anymore. But I didn't go anywhere. I let go. And I didn't go anywhere. And I learned in that moment I was never holding on to God. God was always holding on to me! And for you, it wasn't you holding on to God. He's holding on to you, because when I blew it again, I didn't go anywhere. And when somebody else blew it in my life, I didn't go anywhere because he was hanging on to me. And Jesus is telling the disciples, you're going to scatter. You're going to freak out. You're not going to know what's going on, but it's going to be okay because my Father who loves you is holding on to you. That's the truth. That's the truth. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world, and we've all been there in the world, in this world, you will have trouble. And Jesus ends the teaching by saying, but take heart, because I know the doctor called. I know that kid called and they're back where they're back. And I know that spouse called and they're not coming back. And I know all those things. Welcome to the world, because this world just offers nothing but trouble. And Jesus said, but you take heart, church, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So take heart. Take heart. He gave you this joy and nobody can take it away. No thing can take it away. He's given you this. Yeah, this world is hard, but our God is so great. Our God is so great. And he is holding on to you if you're a follower of Jesus. As they come for altar, I want to say this. Some of you are here and maybe perhaps thought, I kind of like some of those things that were said. But I want you to know, if you're not a follower of Jesus, the things I said today are not true for you. They are not true for you. Because what I've shared today are the promises that Jesus gave to his followers. But the good news of the gospel isn't that they're not for you. The good news of the gospel is, if you allow Jesus to put your life in his hands, those promises will be true for you. They'll be true for you. And some of you are sitting back and you're saying, man, the only reason I'm here is because a judge made me come this morning. Or the only reason I'm here because I'm dating a girl and I want her to think I'm really churchy. Whatever reason you're here, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that this morning God would open up your eyes and your ears and your heart. And you would sit there. And the only reason you could even sit there and feel like that you need to be saved is because the Spirit of God is already working in your life. You know why? Because you're not after him. He's after you. And he loves you. And I want to invite you to come to this altar. It's kind of how we do it here. In just a moment, there'll be a lot of people come to the altar to pray. I want to invite you to come. Pastors will be down here, and we'd love to pray with you. To pray, and simply, as long as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, he rose again 3 days later, your sin can be forgiven, and he's the only way to heaven. And I want you to know you can be saved. And he'll save you. And some of you may be thinking, but you don't know where I've been. No, but I know where a lot of these people have been. And God saved them. I know where I've been. And God saved. I don't want you all to feel like you're getting all picked on right here. I know where I've been and God saved me. I'm going to tell you this. He's faithful and just and he will forgive you. And he will save you. Let him put your life in his hands. And in church, for the rest of us, I think the question we have to have at the end, I don't think you maybe disagreed with anything I said about joy, but I think the question is, some of us may say, okay, I believe all that. Where's my joy? Okay, nobody can take it away. No thing can take it away. That's cool. I believe it. So where is it? Where is it? It's right there. It's right there. And here's the problem. And I understand this because I do this. I allow something else to come more into focus than the joy that's in my life. And I do that because some of the things I'm going through are painful and some of the things I'm going through are difficult. But I focus on those things rather than focusing on Jesus, how Jesus wants to get me through those things. So I don't have any formulaic prayer for you to pray so that it automatically switches focus. I'm still learning that in my own life, trying to focus on what I need to focus on. But here's what I would do if I were you. I would just come to the altar and I'd say, Lord, help me to focus. I don't want to focus on all this other stuff that's going on. I want to focus on you. I want to focus on the joy that you have given me. I want to focus on the strength you have given me. And that's what I would do. I would just come to this altar. Father God, you've been so faithful. And Lord, we thank you because we've already declared through song that you are so great and we believe it. And I pray today you be great in each of our lives, Lord. I pray you move in this altar as only you can. I pray the people be saved today. I pray the people would confess their faith through baptism, Lord. Make a public profession. Lord, I pray that. People need to do that would do that. And Lord, I pray for so many of us that we just get focused on those incredible things that you gave us. Because, Lord, the world is tough, but you've overcome the world. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.